All right, if you take your Bibles and open up to Acts chapter 4, just want to give you a brief challenge here before we leave today. I know we've got a lot of things going on, a lot of things on our minds. We're finishing up our classes today, tomorrow. We have a final exams that are happening here very shortly, coming up this next week. And you're just trying to finish and finish well. I realize that. And so I thought, what can I talk about today that would be helpful and appropriate even as we go out into Christmas break? And I thought, you know, one thing that we always could use as we go out, even as we're ministering all semester long, day by day, week by week, internally to one another, and of course out in the community, in our various church, local churches, as well as in different parachurch organizations, one thing in particular is we need boldness to be able to do these things. And I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, we go out and there can be kind of this rah-rah, like, here we go, we're going to go out in the name of Christ, we're going to be bold, and we're going to give the gospel. And what I'd like to do today is really focus on what the Scripture looks at, what the Scripture says regarding the idea of boldness and how to have boldness even as we go out into a Christmas break like this. Perhaps many of you have unsaved loved ones, and you think of even a time like this where you're going to get together with them, and maybe there's even a little bit of tension sometimes with that, because maybe you're a believer and they're not a believer, and however those dynamics might be, or maybe you have unsaved neighbors or friends that you're going to go and get reacquainted with. Many of you have friends that when you go home, you're going to be able to see them, and you know that when you get around them, it's going to be very difficult perhaps to even do the right thing, to keep your testimony, to be able to even think through how can I have this relationship, but at the same time honor Christ in what I do? It will not grieve my conscience. So the question before us today is this. How is it that you can have boldness to do right? How is it that Christians can be bold in an insecure and even sometimes hostile world? Well, Peter's powerful and mightily used sermon in Acts chapter 2 and 3 might almost convey that the gospel is irresistible. That is, that everyone who hears it responds readily in its truth and claims. And when you open up the book of Acts, chapter 1, you have, you know, this power will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then you see this sermon that's preached in Acts, chapter 2. 3,000 people are getting saved. You go to chapter 4, you got this healing that happens. And it just seems like that what actually Luke is giving to us is this just unstoppable record that the gospel, wherever it goes, it would not find impediment, either in the hearts of individuals or among the Jewish or the Roman populaces as a whole. And until now, one could be forgiven if he or she assumed that most of the gospel seed sown would find itself in fruitful soil, or even that Jesus' prediction of opposition would be rare exceptions to the rule. For example, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6:22, "Blessed are you when men hate you or ostracize you or insult you or scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man." Or in Luke 12, "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities," or Luke 21, "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you." Well, the developing scene in Acts chapter 4 quickly corrects any hasty assumption that the gospel would advance without opposition. From Acts 4 onward, wherever the gospel advances, it divides. It exposes belief on the one hand and unbelief on the other. And often the unbelief hardens into antagonistic opposition. The healing miracle in Acts chapter 3 becomes the catalyst for belief and opposition. And while some looked on in appreciative amazement in Acts chapter 3 verse 11, the religious leaders look on in threatened suspicion in Acts chapter 4, verse 2. In other words, what produced gratefulness and belief in some generated grief and disbelief in other people. Look down at Acts chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead, they laid hands on them," verse 3, "and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." And then if you jump down to verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They realized there's something different about these guys. So look down now at verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth." And they're praying, and they start praying scripture. You can see that in the next verse, in verse 25. And then if you jump down to verse 27, it says, "For of a truth against thy holy child whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. But what they did," verse 28, "was to do whatever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And so, Lord," verse 29, "behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And so, this is the context, this passage is the context of boldness, because boldness is actually something that is boldness is based upon an understanding of Jesus and his authority. Boldness is based upon an understanding of Jesus' authority. They served in the name of Jesus. Look back at chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Look at verse 16 of chapter 3. "And in his name, through the faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Or look at verse chapter 4, verse 2. "They preached in his name." Or verse chapter 4, verse 7. "And when they had set them in the midst, they said, by what power or what by what name have you done this?" Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. "Be it known unto you that it's by the name of Jesus Christ this man stands before you hold." Or verse 12. "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." Or even the next verse, verse 13. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus." So boldness happens because someone has an understanding of Jesus' authority. And they understand when they serve, they are actually serving in the name of Jesus. But really, everything done in the Christian life is done in the name of Jesus. There's not anything that's not done that is done in the name of Jesus. For example, when you're saved in the name of Jesus, right? "Even to them that believe on his name," John chapter 1, verse 12. Or Acts 4:12, like we read here. Or Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." So you're saved in the name of the Lord. But what's the next step in after salvation? You're baptized. And in baptism, you're baptized into a name. Matthew chapter 28. "Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And so now you're saved and you're baptized. And now you're going to start praying. You're like, "Wow, God's changed me. I'm baptized. I'm identifying with God." And you start praying, and as you pray, if you're going to pray scriptural prayers, you're actually going to pray it in Jesus' name. And so now you find other people just like you, and you're like, "Hey, you're saved, you're baptized, you're praying, let's get together and let's do this together." And you gather, and the scripture says, when two or three gather, and they gather together in my name, there I am in the midst. And so now you're gathering, and now you're serving, and you're serving in the name of Jesus Christ, as you see in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Acts. So now you evangelize. And you start going out and telling people to repent because of Jesus Christ, and you're preaching a gospel in this name. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And of course, as you do this, what happens is that eventually there is going to be suffering, even as the scripture says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. And Acts 5:41 says that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Every part of the Christian life has to do with the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Christians that are bold because they do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where boldness comes from. So boldness, number one, is based upon an understanding of Jesus' authority. This authority is found because Jesus Christ is king over all the earth. Matthew chapter 28 says that he is king over all the earth, and through him, he will accomplish what he has. And number two, boldness is based upon the fact that Jesus not only has all authority, but boldness is based upon being filled with the Spirit of God. Boldness is realized by actually being filled with the Spirit. And so in this passage, you can see that these men were men who were filled with the Spirit. They're praying in the passage. Acts chapter 4, it says when they heard that they lifted up their voices. Acts chapter 4, verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." And they're praying all these this prayer to God. And it says here, moving down to verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were filled where they were filled and assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. These men and women, as they gathered, were filled with boldness because they were submitted to God. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, that can sound a little bit mysterious, but just taking the mystery away of that, you could say these words, being filled with the Spirit of God is actually submission to God. There is no way that we actually in our own Christian life can have boldness unless we are submitted to the Spirit of God. So this morning, is there anything that you can think of in your life where you are not submitting to the Spirit of God? It is actually impossible for you to have true boldness unless you are submitted to the Spirit of God. Because boldness comes because you understand something about Jesus Christ, that he has all authority. Boldness, secondly, comes because you are Spirit-filled. Taking away the mystery, that means you are submitted to what God has said. You are following, you are obedient to him. And boldness, number three, comes because you understand that you need to be prayerfully dependent upon God and his Spirit. What you find in this passage is, where did these men and women go when they saw this suffering or this opposition? They immediately went to prayer. And they went to prayer that was scripturally dependent. It was a prayer that was scripturally dependent and acknowledged that Jesus Christ is sovereign over all the earth. Look at the prayer again. They said, starting the prayer really being starting in verse 24, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God, and they started praying back to him the scripture that he had given to them. Lord, you are God. You made the heavens. You made the earth. You made the sea, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? They're going back to Psalm 2. And they continue to quote that psalm. They continue to say, God, this is what you said. This is what you said was going to happen. This is the conspiracy that you knew was going to take place. You are sovereign over all things. Oh, Lord, give us the ability to live in the time that you have given to us, in the life that you have called us to live, so that we can accomplish exactly what you want us to accomplish. How are you to be bold? How are you to actually share the gospel when you have opportunity? You know, you're sitting next to that person, you're like, should I not? Well, boldness is not just like you just kind of like rev up, you know, like if you can do, say, a few affirmations and you can kind of like visualize this and you're just going to rev up this so that, you know, you psych yourself up to be able to do that. No, boldness comes from really a scriptural understanding. It comes from an acknowledgement that everything I do is in the name of Jesus Christ. And that name is a name that is above all names. There's no other name on the heaven like that. And his name has all authority. And boldness, secondly, comes about because I know that I am submitted, I myself am submitted to that authority. I am submitted to, actually, I'm filled with the Spirit. I want to be obedient to God. And really, I want this person to know Jesus Christ as their authority because he truly is. The reality is he is truly king of over all the earth. And the third aspect of boldness is that I am going to independent prayer say, God, you're the one who's called me to this. This is the path you put me on. This is the circumstances, maybe unexpected, that you have given me today. So help me do what you have called me to do. And I'm going to go back to Scripture. And in dependence on Scripture, I'm going to pray those truths back to God. And that's exactly what we find in this passage. And that's exactly what you can find even as you go out during this Christmas break, as you interact with loved ones, unsaved relatives, unsaved friends, and people that you want to encourage in the faith. Let's pray and ask God that do that in our lives. Father, we pray that that would be true of us, that we would have scriptural boldness, and that we would really see you as you are, the King over all the earth. We would be submitted and obedient in our own hearts, and that we would be prayerfully dependent upon you. And we pray it in your name. Amen.